Want to greet you, each one, this morning in Jesus' name. Thankful for the triumph of our Lord in the lesson that talked about the council being defeated of the prophet of the and the triumph of God's will in the end. I've thought about this week, and just this government is going to fail. This world will pass away. No matter how triumphant it may appear that it is or how powerful, it's all going to fall one day. And the Lord's will be done. One man told me many, many years ago that one man doing God's will is a majority wherever he goes. That's a blessing. Fits with the verses in Psalms that one will chase 1,000 and 10 will chase 10,000. And it's a blessing to be able to go into whatever situation we go into, if we're doing the Lord's will, and though hand joined in hand, they'll be defeated over those who are doing God's will, no matter what the appearance may be. Right, this morning, I want to turn to John chapter 10 and just take one verse out of there, basically, or we'll start with one. We may read a few more, but John chapter 10, verse 1. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. Won't go into a lot of that other than the first verse. It's basically what I wanted to start with. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. The Lord has set himself, painted a picture here of a shepherd. And most of us know about farming. I've been around cattle and things all my life like that. And it's pretty neat. Whenever I was working over in Stark City, taking care of cattle over there, we had several hundred cows, and we sold the ranch, and we sold the cows with the farm. And that's been several years ago. And every once in a while, I'll just drive back by there and holler. And the old cows that's been there for years lift up their head and start looking, because they know my voice, even after all this time. For I can toot my horn, and they know that they know my voice. That's why he said this, is because his sheep know his voice. They don't try to slip in another way or a secret way. They hear His voice and they follow Him. That's why the Bible teaches, and later on it says, if they hear you, they will hear me. Or if they hear me, they will hear you. That's what He says. And those that will not hear our words because they are His words are not hearing Him. That sounds kind of arrogant to someone who doesn't hear, or someone that doesn't have ears to hear. But whenever we speak the truth and we speak to men's hearts and their consciences, there's people that hear it and there's a multitude that don't. They hear because they hear the shepherd calling. We are the creation of His pasture. And even though we've gone away and followed His enemy and lived under His control, when He speaks and He calls and we're listening, we can still hear His voice. And He can call us out of those things. Call us out from darkness and to light. But he that climbeth in some other way is a thief and a robber. There's many ways that someone can climb in another way. There's many religious groups that try to put out a little formula, and if you follow that formula, they say you can climb in. There's many people who try to purify their lives so pure and can accomplish it, but still trying to climb in another way. Climbing in another way is trying to get to God in a way other than what He's calling you. It's so important that we hear the Word of God and apply it to our lives. Whenever I've thought about this week some, and I think about the apostles. You know, sometimes we read in the Bible and some men God calls, or they hear Jesus and they get healed, and some of them He tells them, you go home. You go home. And some men, He calls and He tells them, you go preach. Take this message and go. And I haven't heard a lot of speculation about what all that means. But this week, while I was, it came to my mind, I guess. The apostles, the 12, we've got Peter and his brother, they're working for their father. Some of the other brethren were fishermen, very solid, rock solid men. Christ came along and He said, follow me. Every one of the apostles that the Lord called were busy doing something. were faithful, were loyal, were counted on. And he told them, leave that and come and follow me. And he sent them out to go preach. And as I thought about that this week, these were men with roots that were well established, solid. And he pulled them up by the roots and said, you go preach. He pulled the roots. Then there was another group, and just, I haven't done this completely thoroughly. But you see, like the demoniac living up in the caves, disturbed by devils, and no man could tame him. Undependable, unreliable. Tossed to and fro by these devils. Jesus came along and healed him. Boy, what an example of someone that ought to just get out there and go preach. What did he tell him? Go home. Go home. Some of them, he went so far as to even say, go home and don't even tell anybody what happened to you. You go home. The two blind men were sitting, probably just traveled hither and yonder wherever they went. Bartimaeus, been a blind beggar all of his life. Jesus comes along, touches him, and heals him. What's he do? Go tell everyone you can see. No, he didn't say that to him. He said, you go home. Don't even tell anyone. You see, the same gospel applied to both of them, the teachings of Christ applied to both groups. One of them had established roots so deep that even though they were able to obey and do all the right things in the gospel, when Jesus said, tear them roots up, follow me, they tore the roots up and followed. That was probably the hardest thing they could have ever done. The rich young ruler, an established man in the community, rock solid. Everyone looked up to him. I can just imagine him. I'm keeping the laws. I'm doing everything I'm supposed to do. And Jesus said, will you hear my voice? Sell it and follow me. Whenever the Lord calls, sometimes it goes deeper than just the outward proper. And I'm not talking about the phony Christianity. I'm talking about real. The kingdom of God Christianity. There's churches that are plain and that appear to be following the Lord all over the place. That are obeying the Word of God. But are they hearing His voice? Now, I'm not talking about some little voice saying you ought to go do this or go do that or guiding every step you make. But with counsel from the brethren and faithful men who have heard that voice, looking at your life, examining it, where it is. Sometimes the hardest thing we can do appears to be just exactly what our heart's desire is to do. These men, these blind men, that's all they wanted to do, is go and tell everywhere. The Bible says they went and blazed it abroad about Jesus. But what did Jesus tell them to do? He told them to go home and don't tell anyone. He told them to go home and not tell anyone. That doesn't compute with us, does it? You see, it's about following Jesus, not how great an evangelist we are, not how great a disciple we are, how disciplined we are, or whatever we think we ought to be. It's being sober. Being sober is not just sitting around trying not to talk all the time, or trying never to smile about something all the time. Being sober is being realistic. Being real with the situation. Being honest with what's at hand. Being able to make a right judgment and not be swayed by our emotions or by our feelings. Not being tossed about to and fro, but being able to step back from a situation and make a sound judgment about it. In spite of the enthusiasm we might have, or in spite of how low we may feel, but to step back and analyze and make the right decision. Some of these men, God said, "You've been here long enough. Tear up your roots and go." We've talked about our missionaries, and I've told some of them that whenever you're here long enough to where it's the hardest thing in the world for us to send you off, is probably when you're going to get sent. It's going to be like pulling teeth. Like pulling good teeth. Everyone looks up to you. Everyone needs you. Everyone just depends on you to be a solid rock. Then it's probably time to pull you up and send you somewhere so you can start something else or be a blessing among people who aren't. Some have spent their lives just going here and there and never really established themselves anywhere. They ran from a lot of their problems. They need to become rocks. They need to just go home. They need to go back home. Putting into the practice, following Jesus. Becoming that rock that can be uprooted one day and sent out. Becoming solid that everyone depends on. Think of that song, Can the Lord Depend on You? Faithfulness is Buddy's due. All of us come from different places, have different direction. But the teachings of the faith are still the same. We all comply to them. We all love our enemies and do good to them that hate us and pray for them that despitefully use us. We believe the purity of marriage. We believe in not laying up great treasures on this earth. And we want to promote and hear the gospel promoted. I've often got a note here. It says the faithless. The faithless are one step behind. The faithless are one step behind. Sometimes they're one step ahead, but the faithless are one step behind. In Numbers chapter 14. I want to just give you an example of this. Joshua and Caleb had just returned, and the 12 spies had been over into the land of Canaan. And they had returned, and they had brought their reports. Joshua and Caleb said, "Let's go. We can take this land. God's promised it to us. Let's go." The 10 spies gave their evil report. Said, "Oh yeah, it's a wonderful land, a beautiful land, but there's giants over there and we're just like a bunch of little grasshoppers. They'll just stomp us. I'm afraid we're not going to go." God got angry, and a judgment came, and He told them, "Because you wouldn't go when I told you, because you wouldn't listen to me when I told you, you can't go. You can't go." Only Joshua and Caleb's going to go. You know what they did? Verse 40, and they rose up early in the morning and get them up to the top of the mountain, saying, Lo, we be here, and we will go up into the place which the Lord hath promised, for we have sinned. And Moses said, Wherefore now do you transgress the commandment of the Lord? But it shall not prosper. Go not up, for the Lord is not among you, that ye be not smitten before your enemies. For the Amalekites and the Canaanites are there before you, and ye shall fall by the sword, because ye are turned away from the Lord. Therefore the Lord will not be with you. But they presumed to go up into the hilltop. Nevertheless, the ark of the covenant of the Lord and Moses departed not out of the camp. Then the Amalekites came down, and the Canaanites which dwelt in that hill, and smote them and discomfited them even into Hormah. What were they doing? They're trying to climb in another way. The faithless are one step behind. God said, go up. They didn't have any faith. They fell back. And then as soon as God said, don't go up, what did they do? They turn around and run up. God says go forward, they go backwards. God says go backwards, they go forwards. You find that all through the Old Testament. They can look as religious as they can, but they're going that way and God said go that way. Why don't they have victory? Why don't they have victory? Because they're running this way as hard as they can, and God's saying, go that way. Go that way. Quit trying to run this way. The modern church. Have you ever noticed? We've talked about this, I've preached about it before, how they call us Old Testament people. I guess because we look old in our manner, we're outdated, old-fashioned, out of style, because we're not keeping up with the world and don't care. And so they naturally associate that with the Old Testament. You need to keep up with the times. This is 2010. That old stuff don't matter anymore. What I think is, it's 2010. We're closer now to God than we in judgment than we've ever been. Forget what this stupid world thinks. We better get back to what He thinks. We're often accused of being Old Testament. Oh, that's the Old Testament. No. What's happened today is those that are one step behind or faithless are following the Old Testament and they don't want to walk in the new path and the new light. In the Old Testament, divorce was permitted, accepted. Divorce and remarriage. But in the New Testament, Jesus doesn't permit it. The Old Testament, they went to war. They established a kingdom on this earth. They conquered kingdoms physically. Jesus said, love your enemies. Our kingdom's not of this world. It's the coming one. The Old Testament, they strictly paid their tithes and offerings. The New Testament, Jesus just says, freely give. They wore their silver and their gold and their jewelry and decorated themselves in the Old Testament. Jesus says, dress plainly and modestly. Let it be the inward beauty that comes out, not the outward adorning. The Old Testament, they were blessed with great riches and wealth. The New Testament, Jesus says, sell what you have and follow me. Don't lay up treasures on this earth. The Old Testament, they had justice. An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Jesus said, if someone takes from you, give them something else. Turn the other cheek. If they slap you on one, if they take your coat away from you, give them your shirt also. What does that mean? It means there's a whole world of people back here living in the Old Testament saying, Lord, we're going to keep your Ten Commandments. We're going to follow the Old Testament. We're going to just trade Jesus for a goat and say that He did all the dying, but we're going to walk this path over here. Jesus is calling us to walk this new covenant that He's given us. The faithless are one step behind, pretending they've got faith, climbing in another way. I don't know how many people I've saw or seen I've observed after they get a divorce and they go get to some church and some singles program and get remarried again. Those people will be the most zealous people in that church. Living in adultery that the church has sanctioned and put back together. And they'll be the most sold out people in the group. That's why half the pastors, or a big majority, almost half of them in evangelical churches are divorced and remarried. You know why? Because the Lord said, do it this way. They did it this way. And to make up for them going the wrong way, they pour the fire on. So let's go up the hill right now. Because they didn't hear the Lord. They know they're wrong living in adultery. They know the way they're doing is wrong. And so to make up for that wrong, they turn around and they run the other way as hard as they can. One step behind. Faithlessly. The I've seen it over and over and over again. That instead of climbing in the right way and doing it God's way, they turn around and do it their own way and then try to make it up with something else. And there are thieves and robbers. When Jesus says, go do something, go back home. Don't say anything. You go back home and you make yourself a disciple. He'll come around again one day and say, here, I've got a place for you. I've got something for you. Anybody that'll hear Him and follow Him and do it and listen, I've got a waiting list this long of places just for people who are ready to do that. Hear His voice. Sometimes that means my world's going to be turned upside down. Sometimes that means I've got to stop and get some things in order. And I'm going to put them in order no matter what it costs. He hadn't given up on us. He hadn't given up on us. All He wants us to do is to quit fighting Him and turn around and do it His way. But we stop our ears one step behind. We close our eyes one step behind. Might be a blazing example. But then He says, come over here. His blessings to His words. Father, we come before You this morning again. Pray for Your wisdom. Lord, help us hear, Father. Help us be sober and see the direction You have for us, Father. Help us plant ourselves, if need be, and become rocks so that when You do call, we can just pull up and follow You, Lord. Pray that You'd help us have ears to hear.